we're going to rejoice. We thank you that you have given us everything for life and godliness. We thank you you've given us this word. This is what assists us. This is what brings us into your great things. So we thank you for the word that goes forth, Father. I thank you, Father, that you have prepared hearts, ears, Father, to grab hold, give understanding, open eyes, that we will walk out of this place bigger, better, and smarter in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, all the smarty pants say yay. All righty. Let's see. Sherry preached last week, but the week before I preached, and the Lord put on my heart to do a series called The Package. Okay? The package. Jesus is the package. He signed, sealed, and delivered it to you. He has given a package to you, and the package is called salvation. Did anybody ever get a package called salvation? Get Pentecostal here. Gee, Lord, hallelujah. Say yes, okay. Now, the package that you signed for really went into action over 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, it was complete, the package. Jesus came, he died, he went to hell, he rose again, and he sat down, and he said, "It is finished." That's the package. Now, sometimes you get packages and you peek in, you go, "Oh, that's nice." And some of you just take it and you put it up here and you go, "Look at my pretty package." I'm like, "Yeah, baby, but open it up." So we're going to open up the package. Last week we talked about what was in the package. First thing, covenant. All right, covenant. If you missed it, or it wasn't last week, but I keep saying that. The last time I preached, okay? We talked on covenant. So write that down, covenant, all righty? And the covenant, the package of salvation brought you into a covenant. That package that you signed for brought you into covenant with God. All right. Now, interesting, you didn't have to do anything to get into that covenant except, everybody say except. Except receive. All right, so I talked about a whole bunch of things. Go hit the button, download on WWYCF, and you can listen to it. Hey, Adam, where's Adam? Adam, can they do the last ones, or it's only the most current one? I thought of that the other night. So we have like an archive or something like that? Hey, awesome! I get thrilled when I finally figure this stuff out. Okay, so if you don't want a CD, you can go online. All right, I just found that out. That is way cool. Okay, now, let me tell you about this covenant. Your side of the covenant is only, everybody say only, to accept it. And the covenant that God made through Jesus is forever. Everybody say forever. Okay. I'm going to say it again. Forever. Okay. Now, what's your side of the covenant? What's your side that you have to do? Receive it. All right. Now, that's said and done. Let's say I did. I signed for my package. I accepted my package. I opened up my package. I'm walking in the stuff that's inside my package. And it's been 10, 20, 30, gosh, going on 40 years since I did that. But in the midst of me, since I received my package, I've made a few boo-boos. Oops! I've made a few mistakes. Oops! I've royally blown it. Oops! Anybody? Anybody? Okay. But listen. What he did for me is forever. All right, now, how many of you have made some mistakes? Oh, the rest of you, and that's it. Oh, you're so, we throw stones at false prophets here. If you got, okay. How many of you have made some mistakes? Raise your hand. Okay, now, I want you to answer this question honestly, but I won't make you raise your hand, okay? Since you've made some mess ups, oops, you know, I oopsed, all right, since you've done that, maybe you may think that you're not as innocent as when you first received your package of salvation, all right? Has anybody, don't raise your hands, has anybody ever felt like that? I'm not as innocent anymore since I first received my package? Well, This is what we're titled the message is, innocent. So if you're writing notes, what is Pastor D talking about? Innocent. I-N-N-O-C-E-N-T. You are going to know what that means when you walk out of here, okay? Everybody say, innocent. Now, you are not innocent until proven guilty. Write that down and suck on it. You are not innocent until proven guilty. Now, in our law, judicial system, that's true. You are not innocent until proven guilty, all right? Second thing, write down. Jesus was proven guilty so you could be innocent. Write that down. Jesus was proven innocent. Excuse me, guilty. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Guilty so you could be proven innocent. That's our message today. And some of you thought, I know that, Pastor D. I opened that package. Okay, now, the rest of you are thinking, yeah, Pastor D, you don't know my life. I am surely not innocent. Woohoo! And some of you I know, I'd go, woohoo! And some of you know me, and you go, whoa-hoo! Okay, some of you are thinking, I'm not innocent. You don't know all that I've done. Okay. Keep that thought over here. Now I'm going to take you to another thought. I'm going to put them together. I am not lost. I'm on a path. Okay? Jack used to preach and go, where are you? Where are you going? Okay. And then he'd say, didn't you follow me? Oh, yeah. Okay, so follow me. Here we go. Most of us are performance-driven. Write down, performance-driven. Okay. Now, I'm not talking just church people. I mean just people all over, forever, any side of the globe. You'll see people are driven by performance, okay? We do a lot of things on our job and in our families by performance, okay? What does that mean? Years ago, when my kids were little, and we would go out to eat, especially Sunday after church, maybe with some people that had kids, I have four, and if we go out with anybody else, oh dear Jesus, kids going to a restaurant. I used to hate that. I'll tell you why. I used to watch kids, not my kids, they were bad brats, misbehaving, dishonoring, going out to restaurants. So Jack and I decided, we are going to teach our kids manners. So we started practicing at home. We practice, everybody take your napkin, put it on your lap, elbows off the table, sit on your behinds, okay, and cut your food this way, not knocking your brother in the side here, all right. We started working on manners because then we'd go out to eat, and we would practice. My kids tell me we were the Nazi parents. I thought we were the perfect parents. Don't listen to half of their stories. Because it just depends on how you see that side of the mountain. And I was looking at this side of the mountain. I just am like amazed. So anyway, we would practice this. Mom, could you please pass me the salt? That meant you couldn't climb up and grab it. Okay? And I'd say, yes. And they'd say, thank you. Then we would practice. Pretending we're at a restaurant. And the waitress would come up and I'd say, Can I take your order? And they would say, yes, ma'am. I was teaching my kids manners. And they'd say, I'd like a cheeseburger, but please, no mustard. And they would say to the waitress, me, thank you, ma'am. And then I'd serve them dinner. All right. All of this was because I went to dinner with some kids all over the place. By the way, mine were sort of like that in the beginning. Okay. But listen. What we got into was performance mentality. My kids are going to be better than your kids who are throwing food on the wall and at the waitress. Okay? Performance mentality. Performance. And listen, my kids are going to be smarter than yours. My kids are going to have better than yours. I'm going to have better stuff than yours. And I start performing in my life. Anybody performing in their life, perform mentality, anybody? If you got a spouse, you can go, that one, okay? Anybody? Anybody here do that? Well, I guess it was me. So anyway, when you are performance-minded, you're always doing this. Many times I see this. I'm gonna catch you on this. And you get born again, and you bring it into church. You bring it into the way you do church, the way you do, actually, I don't want to say church, the way you do your Christian life. You bring that performance mentality in the way you do life as a Christian, such as, ready? I have to serve God. That's performance. I have to not make any mistakes. That's performance, all right? So we do bring that in. But listen, newsflash, God is not interested in your performance. Write that down. God is not interested in how you perform. You can't be good enough for God, and you can't be bad enough for God. He's not interested in your performance, all right? Matter of fact, Jesus performed everything. Yay! You should be shouting. Jesus performed everything for you, all right? So you can't be good enough and you can't be bad enough. That means stop performing, all right? It has nothing to do with you, this salvation. It has everything to do with his performance, what Jesus did for you. Man, it's like, take the load off. When I finally figured it out, I was like, wow, I think I might enjoy the journey. I'm going to, you know, okay? Now, again, some of you think, I have to serve God. I have to be perfect. My performance has to get a 10. And if I don't score a 10 in the things that I do, God's going to be mad at me. Matter of fact, he's not going to like me. Okay, all of that is dumb thinking, performance thinking, all right? And some of you would say, but Pastor D, I'm not perfect. I'm not innocent anymore. I've done things, okay? Now listen, the day you accept it, raise your hand if you've accepted Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the day that happened, you became brand new on the inside, your spirit, the real you. You became a new baby. A new baby. All right, now I'm going somewhere with this. A baby. All right, now, how many of you have ever held a baby? How many of you have ever had a baby? How many of you have grandbabies? How many of you babysat? How many of you at least looked at a baby? Okay. All right, because you have to answer that. All right. It's so interesting. And really, Laura's was on Instagram, and she just had a new niece. It's a niece. You can't tell because they're all bald in the thing. And she is holding this baby, just looking. Oh. And this is my message got from this. Is what? Okay. And what you look, you hold those little babies, and you look, and you say, innocent. Pure innocence. I remember one time, I think Sherry's only about 2 weeks old, and Jack had gone off to work, and I wasn't working at that time. I hadn't worked for the next 20 years that time, but anyway. So and it was kind of cold. Sherry's born the 1st of December, and I'm in bed, and I sat in bed till Jack came home at lunch, just looking at that baby. Oh, she's so beautiful. Oh, she's so innocent. Oh, she's so perfect. Now, Sherry tells me she was the ugliest baby because she had a cone head. I know. She was beautiful. She's still beautiful. Okay. But you know what? We look at that baby, not just they're beautiful, because some of them do come out a little, okay? But we look at them. We look at them as innocent. Anybody would agree? Do you ever look at those babies and go, oh, my gosh, they're so innocent. Ooh. Okay. Don't any dads do that? It's just a woman thing. Guys, do you ever look at those babies and go, oh, okay. Everybody say innocent. Okay, now listen. They haven't done anything, and we say innocent. Okay, they haven't done anything. They don't know anything, and we still say, oh, they're so innocent. Oh, right? All right, now. Everybody say innocent. 20 years goes by, and those babies... Can you imagine if they never grew in their state of innocent? Now, part of me thinks that's great, because I don't want them to know some of the stuff I know. And I'm not telling them some of the stuff I did either. Go to my grave with this stuff. But I want them to stay innocent. But really, you don't want them to stay in that state if they keep acting like a baby. Anybody want 20-year-old babies? No. All right. All right. So it's interesting now. We do want them to grow, don't we? Say, yes, grow up, get out. All right? Now, when you are innocent and then you start growing up, in your life as a Christian, you go through some stuff, don't you? Woo, baby. Just 1 year being born again, I thought, man, I have been through some stuff. And you have to go through stuff in order to grow. Okay? Those innocent babies, you want them to go. You want them to grow. I want you to grow. I want you to grow and go through stuff. But listen, you know what we say in the Christianese world? Oh, I'm believing for the victory, Pastor D. Woohoo! I'm believing for a breakthrough, Pastor D. But let me tell you this. You know what you have to do to get to that victory, that breakthrough that you're confessing for? Do you know what you have to do? You have to go through stuff, and that stuff's called a test, and I hate tests. Anybody love tests? Only the teacher who writes the test likes the test. But I didn't even like that when I was a teacher, because I had to grade them. But listen, we don't like going through them because it's a test. We don't like going through tests. Anybody like going through tests? Anybody here? Good. All right, good. Okay, now. But it's so interesting. I have opened my package of salvation, okay? And I am innocent, but as I go and grow, everybody say, go and grow, we might make mess ups. We might fall. We might sin, all right? So what happens is when that happens, a lot of times we believe, oh, I'm not innocent anymore. All right? Oh, I can't be the same anymore because I've made mess ups. Wrong. All right? So today we're going to talk about innocent. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how Jesus, in his innocence, poured into you. All right? And then you can say, innocent. All right, so we're going to talk about Jesus and his innocence poured into you so you are no longer guilty. Everybody say, not guilty. Not guilty. And listen, when God looks down, everything I just said is absolutely Bible truth, and I'll give you scriptures later. But listen, some of you guys, when God looks down at you and you've messed up, he doesn't see you as guilty. I got a piece of hair in my mouth. Okay. He doesn't see you as messed up and guilty. That's not how God sees you, because that's not who you are and what he's made you, all right? Now, how many of you want to know you are innocent? How many of you, okay, maybe you're just seeking out this God thing. Let me tell you, this is the best message you're going to hear this year from today on, because you're going to know how you can be innocent. And the rest of you that are Christians, this is the best message you can hear, because you're going to know that you are innocent, all right? You are innocent. So getting to some Bible verses, turn to Romans 5:24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. There you go. Romans 5. Oh, Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25. You are innocent. Say innocent. All right. Romans 4:25 in the King James. And I usually don't read in the King James, but they have these two words that just need to be put together, blown up, so you get it. So that's why I picked it. Okay. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses. Underline your word offenses. All right. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised up for our justification. Underline that word. Those are the two words we're going to dissect today. Okay. Who was Jesus? Jesus Okay? Jesus, that's who we're talking about, who was delivered for our offenses. All right? Now, and raised up for our justification. Justification, I'm just going to give you a definition. You can write it down. It means to be made innocent. Now, I'm going to give you a whole bunch more definitions, but starter, justification means to be made innocent. Now, let's look at that scripture again. It says, delivered up because of our offenses. Anybody have any offenses? I'm not talking about you're offended with a person. I'm talking about offenses. Anybody have any offenses? Okay, definition for offenses. Sin, transgressions, I fell, I slipped up, I messed up. You kind of get that word? All right? So, it says, who was delivered because of our offenses? All right? All right. He was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, our mess ups, and he was raised again for our justification. He was raised. So we said that word was justification. Just put a line through that and say it this way. He was raised for our innocence, so we could be innocent. Jesus was raised so you could be innocent. That's justification. He was raised so you could be innocent. So everybody say, I'm innocent. Tell the person next to you, you're innocent. All right? Now, we don't usually use the word justification, so that's why I'm going to say this, innocent, but it also carries more. It's like it carries this thing and this thing. So it carries the word innocent, but it also carries the meaning of acquittal. Acquittal. All right, it's a court thing. So picture this big court case. All right, a big court case, and you've got the prosecuting lawyers and the defense lawyers, and they go at it. All right, and then finally the judge says, that's it, and they send the jury into the back room, and they make deliberate, they just, I would love to know what they do. No, I don't, because I don't want to be on jury duty. Sorry. Okay, someday when I'm retired, I have nothing better to do. I want to do that. Okay, so the jury goes out there, and for like hours, they decide, and they come back, and they give that piece of paper to the judge, and the judge reads it, and he says, this person who did something, he says, this person is acquitted. Acquitted means not guilty. That's what the judge says. Now, several years ago, it was all in the news about a very famous case. Casey Anthony. Anybody follow that case? Uh-huh. Okay, I can tell by just what you said, Miss Kathy. You may not have agreed with the verdict, did you? Nope, don't say anything. I don't want to hear it, okay? Sometimes we don't agree with the verdict. Not guilty. You may have watched it and said, what, are you kidding me? Okay, so what you think doesn't matter. That person, from that moment on, They're not guilty. It's over. That's it. The verdict was given. Now in our life, anybody? No. Okay. Don't answer that. Okay. Okay. Acquittal. All charges were dropped. Like they did nothing wrong. Suck on that one. All charges were dropped. They did nothing wrong. Acquittal, okay? And even if you don't think so, it doesn't matter because they are acquitted, right? All right, now, we have this guy called the devil, and it says in Revelation, the accuser of the brethren, is that Revelation 12? Anyway, go look it up. Revelation, it says the devil is accusing the brethren. Anybody the brethren over here? You did not because you have a little bonnet. You're a brethren because you're a believer. The Bible says that the devil is accusing the brethren, accusing you of stuff you did before you got saved. And, you know, that part I got, okay? And he also accuses you of stuff after. Anybody get his sin after? Okay, so that's what the devil does. And he's trying to tell you you're guilty. Your guilty is charged. Shame, shame on you. That's what the devil loves to do. Remember, he does it continually, all right? And some of you guys spend more time fighting shame and guilt instead of living the life of what the Supreme High Court of Heaven said. Innocent, acquitted, not guilty, charges dropped. I had a thing go on yesterday in my head. I heard something, and man, the devil was just accusing me. And I practiced what I was ready to preach. Went to bed, slept like a babe. Okay? All right, now listen. God has stated that you are acquitted. You are innocent, okay, regardless of how you think. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you thought that case of Casey Anderson should be. It doesn't matter. Listen, God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think. You are innocent of any of your mess ups before and after. All right? Now look innocent for crying out loud. Sit up. Okay. Listen, God looks down from heaven and he sees you through and by what Jesus did. He looks at you. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even have to look at you. He just goes, acquitted, innocent, because of what Jesus did. And listen, he's made you innocent, and the word is justified. Justified, all right? And the great part, the greatest part, it has nothing to do with your performance. That's where I was like, oh, thank God. I think I'm going to enjoy this Christian life now. All right? You being innocent, acquitted, justified, has nothing to do in how good you are and how bad you are. He says you are. All right? So, justification. Not only does God see you through Jesus that your sins are forgiven, but he's granted you Jesus' righteousness. But I'm not good enough. Darn it, get that thinking out of there. He's given you Jesus' righteousness. The Jesus' not mine. Dear God, you'd be a mess. He gave you Jesus' righteousness because of the courtroom of heaven. All right, now it's interesting. Because of all that, you are totally pleasing to God. Not because of your past, not because you're going to make a mistake or anything. You are now totally pleasing to God. Show me your pearly whites, those pleasing to God. You got, that's right. I'm totally pleasing to God. Everybody say, I'm pleasing to God. Totally. Oh, gosh. Okay. So, if you're writing this down, you were acquitted by God through Jesus, and because you are made innocent, you are now totally pleasing to God. Oh, man, that's the best day ever. That's why I said this is the best message you'll ever hear. Innocent. Say, I'm innocent. Man, all right. And listen, God is not looking at any of your mess ups. Nope. All right? He looks at you through Jesus. Now, it's really funny. I crack up when I hang around with the Salmons. Everybody wave at the Salmons up there in the and any other grandparents? Yeah, you guys are a mess. But I'm going to be a grandparent someday, and I'm going to be just that same mess. But it's so funny to watch grandparents. You truck in your little darlings over to their house. Oh yeah, you were telling me a story, and they tear up the place. But you are the grandparents. Oh, but they're just so good. You see them with these rose-colored glasses because you're really in faith. But listen, God doesn't see you with rose-colored glasses. He sees you perfectly through Jesus. You are made innocent, acquitted, charges dropped. Not because you tore up the place. All right. You know why? He sees you the way you are on the inside. There was a dramatic change on the inside the day you opened your received your package, all right? Dramatic change, okay? Now, the interesting thing is, the change didn't happen on the outside. I'm still waiting to be a perfect size 2. Darn. The change didn't happen on my brain. I'm still don't have a doctorate in whatever, okay? Where did the change take place the day you received, accepted the package? On your spirit, the real you, the inside, right? Okay. But listen, I will tell you, the brain part, your thinking, is your responsibility. So get with it. Wash it out, all right? God, now that's your responsibility. You are required to renew your mind, grow up, start acting. Okay, that's your responsibility. God did his part. And you had nothing to do on his part. All right, he did his part. You didn't have to do that. He just did it, all right? Now, okay, so it's kind of interesting. I see this, especially some of you. I've known you from the beginning days of YCF, all right? And it's interesting. Sometimes we know, Pastor D, I know that word justification, all right? We know that, but sometimes we go, but it's too good to be true. It's just too good to be true. I have to do something. I just have to do something, all right? And then, matter of fact, I know, I have to give up stuff because I'm saved and sanctified, all right? Or I have to perform. I have to do, all right? Now, listen. Your brain goes, tilt, I can't accept this. Tilt, I can't accept this. But God says, I have acquitted you. I have dropped all the charges that have been the writing on the wall. I've dropped all those charges for before you got saved and as you're walking out. Innocent. So everybody say, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I'm not guilty. Let me just toss this in because I had fun doing it. The definition for acquittal, like when you're the legally kind, okay? Get this, because some of you are still looking at me like, you don't know, Pastor D, what I did before I even got here. No. Acquittal. The legal thing says to clear a person of charges by declaring him not guilty. All right, that's what God said about you. I have cleared you of the sin you did in the parking lot screaming at everybody in the car. I've cleared. We used to have our best wingdings by the time we hit the end of the parking lot, okay? I have cleared you of the charges, and I declare you not guilty. But you might say, but Pastor D, there's plenty of evidence. Put your hand over your wife's mouth and say, don't say anything, okay? There's plenty of evidence in your mind, all right? And so that we start trying to live this life to perform, okay? But listen, the day Jesus died that horrific death on the cross, and he went to hell, and he defeated the devil, and he rose again. He said, acquitted, not guilty, justified, innocent. All right? Now, I'm going to give you something to help you out. Where's my ushers? Anybody know what a ledger sheet is? Okay, you're going to need a piece of paper. If you would like my ledger sheet piece of paper, raise your hand. You have to do this. Everybody has to do this. And you can't do it on your app. Hurry up. So help them out. Anybody. Rod, go jump in. Hang on. There's a bunch of these. You need this. Okay. Thank goodness for the people at YCF office. I would have never known what a ledger sheet is. We still have them. We don't use them. So I want you to use these. You're going to get a ledger sheet. Fold it in half. Fold it in half. All right? And on the one side write, my sins, and go to town. I'll give you a hint of some of them. But I won't look at you, all right? Just tear. You have to do this. Okay. So I didn't have my ledger sheet at home, so I wrote on this. But you need a ledger sheet. A ledger sheet, and you are to write on the one side, fold it in half, and you can get busy. Write on the top, my sins. Now, the Bible, in case you can't remember them, you can look in Galatians 5. It'll list a whole bunch of them. So I'll just give you some. Now, nobody has to see. This is secret. You can shred it later. Or better yet, you can write down somebody else's sins. Because you're innocent. No, you can't do that. That's later on, okay? All right. So, envying, lying, gossip, anger, strife, jealousy, division, temper tantrums. Okay, I'll throw it out. Okay. Start writing some sins down. They don't have to be yours. Just start writing them. Frank, get a piece of paper. She's your secretary. Okay. All right. Okay, everybody write down some sins. My sins. My sins. Do the homework. Don't give me that lip, young lady. Kurt, do the homework. All right. Just put one down, all right, later on. Now, on the other side of the paper, so the first side you're going to write, my sins. The second side you're going to write, my righteousness. Just put a big R if you don't want to spell the whole word out. Okay, my righteousness in Christ. My righteousness in Christ. Who I am the day I receive my package of salvation. Now listen. If you understand this word justification, this is what you do. You draw a line through all your sins. Just draw a line. Draw a line now. On your other side. Okay. Boy, I got some holy people. They only put down one sin. Woohoo, man. She whiz. I had a whole list here. Gee, the preacher. Okay. Shoo, got embarrassed there for a second. I was going to say turn the heat up, but I just forget it. I'm going to freeze you out here. So one side it says our sins. And if you had time, the next side, you would take all those sins and you would cross them out, all right? And at the bottom of that, you'd write, you're forgiven, right? Now listen, in Old Testament, Old Covenant, that's exactly the truth. Because in the Old Testament, if you missed my series, my beginning one on covenant, in the Old Covenant, your sins were covered or crossed out. They're still on the paper. They were still on the paper. They were just crossed out. Old covenant. Okay. But listen, new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. So much better. It's so much better. Because what happens in the new covenant, because of what Jesus did, you have a blank sheet. You have a blank sheet. Because he said, acquitted, charges dropped, forgiven, washed. And then listen, made holy, his righteousness. Okay, that's the good news of your salvation. So walk around with a blank page. Everybody show me your blank page. All right? Mm-hmm. You've been cleared, washed, forgiven, made righteous. All right? Now, it's interesting. Some of you in your brain, though, in your brain, you keep looking at those crossouts. You need adjustment in your brain. If you see crossouts in your life, you need an adjustment. And I want to tell you something. God is not going by what you think. And some of you think that God should go the way you think. Okay, who are you going to believe? God or the way you think? Go by God. Sorry, you go by God. No, I'm not sorry. You go by God, all right? Okay. Okay, so if what you think isn't true, you need an adjustment, all right? You need to understand. You are acquitted. You are washed. You are clean. You are forgiven. And it's not because of you. Oh, this is where you get free. It's not because of you. It's because of Jesus and through him and by him that you are acquitted, all right? You're acquitted. Now, some go, oh, Pastor D, you just teach baby stuff, foundational stuff. This is foundational, and until you understand it, it affects every area of your life. Okay? Such as, it'll affect how you pray. Now, I'm not looking at anybody. I'm going to talk it this way. Some of you come into your prayer, oh, God, I really messed up. I did this wrong. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, I really did this, and then I did that, and I did that, and I almost fell. I better stand over here. Okay? And I did this and this. And, oh, by the way, God, please, could you just answer me this one time? When I listen to people beg and grovel like that, I know you don't understand justification. You don't understand that you have been acquitted. You don't understand that everything is blotted out. Because the Bible says, if you do, you come boldly into the throne of grace. The Bible says, ask and you'll receive. Please, God. Okay? So when some, you know, Pastor D, don't you have high revelation for us today? I do. But you can't swallow it yet, okay? Because some of you got to work on this. I'm innocent. I'm acquitted. I'm made totally pleasing to God today and forever. All right, so. Okay. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Look at that. Hallelujah. I'm going for it. Just lock the doors. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, you all know 2 Corinthians 5:17. I gave it to you. It says that you, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new being, a new baby, all right? But look, jump down to verse 21, and it says, God made him who knew no sin for us. I'm reading out of the NIV. God made him who knew no sin. Who knew no sin. Okay, Jesus didn't know sin. That's talking about Jesus. Now listen, it's not because he was just didn't know what sin was. Not talking about that. He never experienced, participated in sin. Okay, so God who made Jesus, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of him. Acquittal! Cleared! Do you hear it? Do you hear that? God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Okay. Now, again, to become is another, the Greek says, means to be made. To be made. God made Jesus to become sin so we could be made a baby, brand new, totally pleasing, innocent, righteous. Wow. Okay, now listen. I'm going to read another translation. This gets it because it's the Living Bible. It says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God took the sinless Christ, Jesus, who knew no sin, sinless, and poured into him our sins. He dumped you into him. He dumped your sins into him. And then, and you know why? Because in exchange, he poured the goodness or the righteousness of God into you. That's why he did it. So you would be his righteousness, justified, acquitted. All right. Okay. All right. Carol, you want to pop those scriptures? Yes, leave them up there because I'm going, can't do them. Let me give you one more. Hebrews 10:17 says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. God says, I don't remember your sins anymore. It's not because he's got brain burp going on. That's the way it's been done. That's the way he sees you. But how do you see you? Everybody say, innocent. Innocent. All right. All right. So, every day, when you wake up, one, the Old Testament says his mercies are new every morning, but the New Testament says when you wake up, you're innocent. When you wake up, you're brand new. When you wake up, you're totally pleasing to God as if it never happened. You know that blank page? Blank! All right? You've been acquitted. You've been clean. You've been made right. All right, so make this confession with me, would you guys? Okay, first I wanted to talk about grace. I can't get there. Oh, my golly gee whiz. Since I've been made innocent, cleared, just simply because I have faith in what God's done because I can't do it. I just believe it. And then I live this life through his grace. Because of the justification, the acquittal, the innocence that I'm totally pleasing, some people think, well, I can just keep on sinning because God keeps wiping it out. So I can sin so he can wipe it out. So I can do beep and he can wipe it out. Listen, then you don't understand what it is to be justified. Because when you know that you've been justified by what Jesus did for you, the death that he did for you, the sins he took for you, you will live life differently. You will live life differently. You won't take this as a license to sin. If you do, you don't get it. Come back next week. Push the rewind button, okay? When you get it that you've been justified, acquitted, made innocent, wiped out, you will live life differently. And the messages that were people saying, you'll live life not to perform. You just live life because of what he's done, all right? You'll never try to, have to, perform to. You're just going to live because of who you are now. Y'all innocent? All right, say this with me. Because of Jesus, I'm justified. I'm completely forgiven. I'm totally pleasing to God. Look at the person next to you, if it's your spouse, and say, I'm pleasing to God. Oh, some of you have to say that to them. And listen, you're totally accepted by him. Hallelujah. Okay. I want you to just go, just walk around all day, innocent, 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 innocent. And I'll guarantee you in a couple of days, something's going to happen as we go through this life, and you're going to go, no, I'm innocent, declared clean, holy, righteous, pure. You got to keep your brain on this one. And again, sometimes you're doing it. You're walking this life. I'm innocent. I'm clean. I'm holy. I'm pure. I messed up. That's okay. I'm clean. I'm holy. I'm pure. And then somebody comes and tells you, aside from the devil, and it just spirals you. No, you walk around and go, I'm justified. I'm innocent. I could sing. Okay, no. I'm declared righteous, holy, pure. Keep this here, guys. Keep this here and live it big, all right? Stand up. I love you. I preach myself happy. Woohoo! Okay. I'm sweating. You think you might be freezing? I'm sweating. All right. Father God, I thank you that you have set us free. We are the captives we were captives. We are set free. We are made innocent, acquitted. And if there's anybody here, as my elders come up, and you've not accepted acquittal, today's the day, baby. Today's the day. Today's the best day of the rest of your life. Come on up. My elders will pray for you, and you will know that you've been acquitted. Hallelujah. The rest of you guys, take your adjustment, walk out, and say, I'm innocent. As a newborn babe, because you are. You're a newborn babe in Jesus Christ. And you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Tonight, 6:30, we're doing the last couple weeks of our finances God's way. Sign up in the back for the